Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
Nowhere. I'm getting you far.
I'm gonna make it. what we need when we're ready. And you're just here tonight. And you're the body, is the one. And we'll go ahead. I'm glad we're about to get it. Let's go. And only you. We adore you. And only you.
Baby, and everything. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Jesus, your presence is heaven to me. Nothing in this world matters but you. Father, I thank you and praise you for this day. Thank you for this afternoon. Oh God, for what you're doing, what you will do, what you've already done. Oh my Father, I pray that you would continue to saturate the atmosphere with your glorious presence. Sterilize the atmosphere and move every unclean spirit out of the atmosphere, that the four winds of this earth will carry your message, the message that you have given to your servant, to the four corners of the earth, and that whoever is hungry and thirsty for righteousness will be filled. Father, we pray even before the woman of God come on for Deacon Frazier's sister and for his brother-in-law. They have been infected with the COVID-19. They are young people fighting for their lives. Father, we know that you are in the midst of this and that you knows all, you see all and can do all. Lord, there's nothing that happened on the earth or in the earth realm that heaven does not know. Father, we thank you, O God, for watching over them right now. And we ask, O God, that you strengthen them and whosoever else that have need of a touch from you today, Lord, that you would touch, that you would heal, that you would deliver, that you would restore. God, we ask you to touch Apostle Washington, Bishop Washington's daughter in Texas that is suffering with brain cancer. Touch Prophetess Misha, Lord. Lord, they only give her 7 months, but Lord, we know that that's what the doctor's saying, but that's not what you say. Lord, we pray right now for healing, right now. Complete healing. Make her ever with whole, that she'll continue, they'll continue to praise you and glorify your name, honor you, for you are Lord, all by yourself. No touch, minister on there, touch her lips, touch her eyes and her ears of clear, and allow her to take her time and deliver the whole message that you have given her for your people. And Father, we'll be so careful as you elevate her to another dimension in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on in, minister on there, and allow the Lord to use you.
Amen. Good morning and good afternoon to everyone.
Good morning. Good morning.
Amen. Good morning and good afternoon, everyone. I just want to thank God for this day. I want to thank God for life. And I want to thank God for his mercy and his grace he gives to each and every one of us. The word that I received from the Lord today was God calls us back into him. God calls us back into him. When we think of it, we all have God within us. He created us, and then he gave us his breath of life. He guides us and provides all we need. So when he calls us and we answer, we draw back into him. Only then do we become whole and start living. When God calls us, he calls us to serve. He calls us to be whole. He calls us to be holy. He calls us to turn away from the things that we used to do. He calls us to honor him and to love him. And that's the only way we can continue to live the life that he has for us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, I will be reading from the NLT and the NIV. It says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the power in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the heart of those who refuse to obey. When God calls us, he calls us back from where we once were. When we backslide, when we do things that is not right to God, he will always call us because we are his children. He brings us from where we used to be. And even when we slide back there, he continues to keep bringing us. Each day, we have to allow God and listen for his call. Listen for him saying, daughter, do this. Son, do that. And we have to obey it. To obey it so that our hearts will remain clean. We have to obey so that our minds will stay focused. So that the work of the enemy, the work of the devil, the work that the devil pours out every single day that is in the sight of our eyes each and every single day, seen and sometimes unseen, it will not fall upon us and drag us back to the place that God has already brought us from. It says all of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature, following the desires and the inclinations, following the things that we want to do, following our flesh, following the desires of this world, following the next person next to us. It says, by your very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. When I heard these words, it reminded me to not judge. Don't look at others and feel like, oh, my God, they're living such a horrible life. They're living in sin. Others struggling. Let them know of the calling that God has. Let them know that God's voice is always there. Let them know that God's love is always there. Let them know that he wants to comfort them. He wants to give them a life, a new life in him. And we have to come back to him. God lives in each and every one of us. His life, his very own breath is what fuels us and keeps us going. But we have to draw back to God. We have to come back into him. We have to allow him to come into us as we go into him so that we can remain whole, so that we can remain strengthened, so that when we are going through our trials and tribulations and everything else that we may see or feel and experience, that we can still stand. Don't be quick to judge others because we were once there. Don't forget the place that God brought us from so that we can remain in a humble mindset, that we can remain in the presence of God and say, God, you know what? Thank you. None of us is far gone. Sin is everywhere. Sin is everywhere and it's always ready to grab hold of us and drag us. But God constantly calls unto us. He constantly calls and brings us, draw us, and holds unto us. Verses 4 to 5 says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgression, even when we were at the lowest of our lowest, even when we couldn't see, God is the one that gave us his mercy. God is the one that shows us love. God is the one that made us alive and reminded us of who we are in him. Reminded us of who he is and the power he carries, able to change our lives. So when we are out here and we're living, remember each day God's calling us. Every second we feel his presence. We feel his spirit. We feel his strength. We feel his encouragement. So when we see our brothers and sisters, when we see strangers, people who don't even know who God is or know a little but not enough, we don't look down. We encourage. We embrace. We smile and say, you know what? I remember when I went through certain struggles. I remember it might not even be on the same level as they are. But you know what? It was a struggle, and it's a testimony that God uses. He uses us to bring light to others. He uses us for his glory so others can see his great power. It says, it is by grace you, I'll just say we, have been saved. Verses 8 to 10 says, of the same scripture, For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Through faith. When we believe in the Lord, when do we believe he can heal us, when we believe he can carry us forth, when we believe that all things are possible because of God, when we believe that we know that the place that we are is not where we belong, when we believe in God, it is his grace that he constantly keeps giving. And because of that faith that we are carrying, because of that faith, that hope of knowing there is better, his light will shine through. For this is not of God. But we have to believe and hold on to this. It is not for us to boast about it. It says here, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we were God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are not saved because of the good we have done. We are saved because God rewards us for his good. We are not being rewarded for this, the things that we are doing, but we are here for God's doing. So that thing that we boast of is God's work. It's God's grace. It's God's love. It's God's mercy. It's God's willingness to always love us no matter what. Doing the boast of his goodness, and to do his will and give him glory for all he has done. When we were where we were before, everyone has a story. Everyone has a testimony, and a testimony is there because we went through testing. Whether we went through testing on our own, whether we went through testing with our families, our friends, our loved ones, what do we know? We have seen the trials and tribulations of others, and we have seen the mighty power of God and the glory of God. Glory, those blessings, those rewards are given to us because we chose to listen. When God called us back to him, we chose to come. When we think of it, when we have something for our children and we call them, Alanja, you know, if she doesn't answer, she will never get what I have for her. If she never comes to me, I can never give her what I have. So when God calls us, we need to answer. We need to answer so we can receive. We need to answer so we can advance. We need to answer God so we are in the known of what God has for us. To Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 11 and 14. It says, then the Lord said to me, even faithless Israel is less guilty than treacherous Judah. Therefore, go and give this message to Israel. This is what the Lord says. O Israel, my faithless people, come home to me again, for I am merciful. I will not be angry with you forever. Come home to me again. Those are the words. God is calling us. Come home. Come back to me, for I am your father. Come back to me and have faith. Put your trust in me, for I have great things and great reward for you. I have mercy. I have strength. I have blessings that will carry you forth. I will not be angry with you forever. I know many people who have backslid. I know many people who don't know God. And when I talk to them about God or we're in a discussion, I have a friend of mine who always says, Andrea, I love God. I serve God too, but I just don't serve God like you. And I'm like, girl, everyone's serving of God is different. Your walk with God is different from my walk. The point is we all have to walk with God. We all have to get to a place where we have a relationship with God. It will never look like mine. Mine will never look like yours. But we are walking with God. We are listening to God. We are heeding his instructions so we can get to the place that he has for us. A place that will be fulfilling, a place that will be rewarding and loving, a place where we are feeling wholesome, that we don't feel broken, that we don't feel tired and beat down, that we don't feel abused, a place where joy is. Joy, love. Joy is what God gives us. That feeling, that expression that cannot be spoken. Only God. But we have to have that walk. We have to have that relationship. Only acknowledge your guilt. Admit that you rebelled against the Lord, your God. He says to repent. We know where we have sinned. Every morning I wake up and I ask God to forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for my thoughts. At night when I go to sleep, I ask God to forgive me because guess what? He's constantly talking to me. He's constantly speaking to us. He's constantly allowing the Holy Spirit to bring awareness to the things that we're doing that is not of him. He calls us back to him. Daughter, you have went so far. Son, you're over there, but I need you to be here. I need you to be where I need you to be. God always gives us free will. He's not forceful. He's loving. But when things are not aligning in your life, in our life, not just yours, our life, we have to always go back to our Father. Go back to the one that we came from. Go back to the one that created us. Go back to the one that can heal us, can deliver us, can transform us. And put us into the places that we need to be. Go back and heed his guidance. Take his instruction. Hear his words. They have power. It says here, you rebel against the Lord, your God, and committed adultery against him by worshiping idols under every green tree. Confess that you refuse to listen to my voice. Confess. I remember before I moved forward and God spoke to me and sent me, my husband, and opened these doors, you know. I remember I had to go back and confess and ask God to forgive me because I heard him, but I didn't want to believe him. So therefore, everything was going wrong. Therefore, I was feeling pain. Therefore, I was sad and I was unhappy compared to where I am now after I confessed my sin. After I said, God, I didn't listen to you. I'm so sorry. Help me to get where. Please teach me again. Tell me again and allow me to follow you. I am ready to listen. I'm ready to be heard in you. I'm ready to live a life that is yours. Not live a life, you know, I'm living for God. I always live for God. But at the same time, I'm asking him to give me blessings. I'm asking him to give me a house. And he said, I already showed you. Your first place is an apartment. I had that dream years. But I kept working on getting a house. And to every time I get so close, something just gets pulled. But when I got this place to live, something small as this brought me joy. It just fell into place. When I was worried about, you know, if they were going to accept me because of the eviction that was on one of my subs due to my sister, I remember I prayed to God, and then I called Apostle and said, Apostle, can you pray with me? And guess what? I called that woman right after, and God opened the door. It was already there. It says here, I, the Lord, have spoken. Return home, you wayward children, says the Lord, for I am your master. I will bring you back to the land of Israel, one from this town, two from that family, from wherever you are scattered. When I saw this scripture, you know, it's Jeremiah chapter 3, you know, but when I saw that scripture, it reminded me of Jeremiah 29:11-14. And we all always speak of just Jeremiah 11. You know, we always just quote that one verse versus the whole passage, 11 to 14. It says, plan God plans to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us future and in hope. Yes, God has a plan for each and every one of us. But as he's calling us back into him, as he's saying, okay, you came from me, but there's a part of me that is in me that I need you to use. There's a plan for who you are, Andera. There's a plan for who you are, Deacon. There's a plan for you, who you are, Apostle. There's a plan. Each and every one of us have a plan. Each and every one of us have purposes. We have purpose to fulfill for the Lord. I've ministered the word before about fingerprints. Every single fingerprint is different. If God can give each and every one of us different fingerprints on one body, then how much does he have in us that is needed, that he wants us to go forth? In verses 12 to 14 of Jeremiah 29, it says, in those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. So when we see the many things that are going wrong, when God has called us back home and he had us scattered from here to there, and he's saying, you have to pray to me. I have a plan for you. But if you want that plan, if you want to prosper, if you don't want to be harmed, if you want a future, if you want to remain hopeful, if you want all of these things that I have for you, I need you to pray to me, and I need you to come to me wholeheartedly. When your heart is completely for the Lord and you are coming to him, knowing that you need him forever and you want to remain in him, not just coming to God because you need a fixing or you need a healing or you need something right there, something that you want, but you don't want to do the work to serve God. You don't want to live that life for God. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortune. I will gather you the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land. Wherever and whatever it is that we are facing in life, facing in our present situation, facing no matter what it is, God has to answer. We have to go to God and he gives us the answer. He gives it to us. We have to hear it and we have to accept. We have to hear it and we have to say, yes, Lord, your will, thy will be done. Accepting is a pill sometimes that is hard to swallow if we are not at that place having a deep relationship with God. Many of my friends, even my old family members, you know, they always say, you know, we can't serve God the way you serve God, because they look at my life and they see me going. They see me going. They see me doing. And they're like, wow, you do a lot for God. No, I just live my life. I get joy in doing. I get joy in helping. I get joy in serving the Lord. I get joy in dancing for God. I receive his peace. I receive his future and his hope. We have to be at that place that we want to receive his plan for us. So as he calls us, we say, yes, Father, I'm here. As he calls us, we come back and draw back into him. We come back into the peace. We come back into his rest. We come back into the life that he has for us. You know, as I read this, God also gave me the book of Ezekiel, and I'm not going to read the scriptures, but I'm just going to paraphrase speaking briefly, you know, about it. Ezekiel chapter 16, the whole scripture, the whole chapter, 1 through 63. As I was reading that, and I've heard many people speak on it, you know, it's beautiful because God is talking about Jerusalem. But when you look at it, he says Jerusalem to an unfaithful wife. And, you know, in those scriptures, God is talking about Jerusalem, how Jerusalem was rejected. It was nothing. It was left for dead. But he saw Jerusalem. He loved Jerusalem. He brought Jerusalem back to life. He clothed Jerusalem. He did all this. He adorned Jerusalem with glory, gifts, glitz, and glamour, everything. But in the end, Jerusalem turned on him. Jerusalem walked away from him. And when we examine that scripture into our life, We can see where we fell short. We can see where we turned away from God when we were nothing, when we were struggling, when we had, you know, so many demons chasing us. We were down in the pits. We didn't even know that life existed. This beauty of who God is. But he came and he brought us out. We heard his voice and he clothed us and he cleansed us and he purified us and he decorated us. We became ministers. We became this. We became man and woman of God. We became successful. All these things. But at the end, what happened? We start becoming big-headed. We start becoming boastful and thinking it's not God, it's us. It's because we did the work. It's because we're going forth. It's because it's not God that is strengthening us. It's not God that is doing it. It is us that's walking the walk. Yes, we walk the walk. But we can only stand firm when we trust in God. We can only make it through the hurdle when we trust in God. We can only make it through the mountain when God breaks it down or he pulls us up. We have to have that faith. So in the end, it says, let's turn. I'm sorry. In the end, God says to Jerusalem, I will let you, I will give you over, basically to your demons. I will give you over to the world that you want to be a part of. I will allow it to consume you. I will allow it to take everything that I have given unto you until you cry back out. Until you cry back out to me and until I pull hold of you. Like the word says, I will not be angry at you forever. But there's times we have to go through lessons. But when we know God is calling, we have to answer. And even when we are doing the things that are not of God, even when we're over here, running there, partying here and partying there, no matter what it is, if our hearts and minds are not with God, we're not going to hear. We're not going to want to listen. But God will allow things to happen to bring us back, to open up our eyes, to get us to understand. That is his will. He has a plan for us. And as we embrace that plan, we receive his peace. As we embrace his plan, it becomes clearer, his work that he has for us. Let's look at Isaiah 59. And I'm going to read from the NLT. You know, in these verses, it speaks of man's disobedience to God and our sin. It says, and our sin. It speaks of the disobedience that we constantly show unto God. Calls us to be obedient. God calls us to follow him. God calls us to trust in him. He calls us to love him. He calls us to serve him. He calls us to walk upright. In verses 12, it says, our sins are piled up before God and testify against us. Our sins are piled up before God and it testify against us. Our sins lead us to the judgment. Our sin testifies of where we were and what we constantly keep doing. That we choose to do our thought process. It's not about what we put in to us, but it's what we seek out. It's the action that carry out. I was speaking to my husband, and, you know, we were going back and forth on, you know, what a man put into his body is not what defiles him, is what comes out. And, you know, as I'm speaking to him and he's speaking to me, you know, God is saying it's not so much the physical, but we could be in an environment that is so toxic and we allow that toxicness to come in, then that is what we're going to release out. You know, I said as an example, my goddaughter, she's 8 months old, but if you have two babies in different homes, and one was born in a home that is constantly cussing and swearing and this and that. You know, I watch YouTube sometimes and TikTok, and there's this woman who, you know, talk about she gives God the glory, and, you know, she's thanking God for her life of where she is, and they work hard. But then she starts to sing certain worldly songs, and she's doing it with her son, you know, that she has, and she's singing and she's rapping and she's saying the B word and F word and stuff like that. And, you know, the little boy's like, oh, my mom is so cool, you know. But I'm like, again, it's what is placed in you. It's the environment that we are in that defiles us and brings out the worst in people. Also, even if you were born in a house that doesn't have this, a godly home, because I know many pastors' children, they were born and bred into her, but when you become knowing of the Lord, he will call you. When we become knowing of God, God calls us and makes us aware of who he is so he can lead us at that point. He can help us to make the right choices to serve him. I know many pastors and stuff who their children are drinking, they're smoking, they're doing all these things. And when they release stuff out of themselves, they release negativity. Are everywhere. Sin is everywhere. That's why God helps us to keep our hearts pure. He helps us to keep our minds pure so that we can serve him in spirit and in truth. Because these things, these different scenes, these different atmospheres is amongst all of us. None of us are shunned from it. None of us are blind from sin. None of us are set away from sin. Even as we are set apart as women and men of God to minister the word, to preach the word, to teach the word, whatever it is that God has called us to do to help others, sin is still there. We constantly have to regenerate ourselves. We have to constantly be in the presence of God. We have to constantly come to God so that the words and the works of the enemy that rules in this world doesn't fall upon us. So that the things that we see with our eyes doesn't become something that we crave or want. So that we keep desiring the things of God. So that we can keep desiring the love of God, because we all have sinned. This is why we don't judge. This is why we don't compare and contrast. This is why I don't do it. I don't look at what the next man have or the next anointing the men have or the next situation that they're going to as a woman, a man of God, and say, oh, I want that. How come I don't have that? Everyone's walk, everyone's call is different. We all struggle. That's what we have in similarity. Everyone has been through some struggle. And as the word says, our sins are before God. It's piled up, and it testifies against us. Every single one of us has a story, has a sin of where we were, of what we have done. In verses 15 to 21, it says, yes. Excuse me. It says, yes, truth is gone, and anyone who renounces evil is attacked. Anyone who renounces evil, anyone who say or speak against something that a person has done or speak up for the truth, we're attacked. But that doesn't mean we don't do it. When God calls us to do and he calls us back into him, God doesn't call us to be a taper Christian. He doesn't call us to be taper believers. He doesn't call us and say, just stay in the background. He calls us for his handiwork. He calls us so we can serve. He calls us so we can live. He calls us so we can bring awareness, even if that awareness that we're speaking of, the things of God, and we're letting someone know something that they're doing is not right. People will judge. People will attack us. But we still have to come back to God. We still have to hold unto God daily, minutely. Secondly, hold on to our Father. The Lord looked and saw, the Lord looked and was displeased to find there were no justice. He was amazed to see that no one intervened to help the oppressed. So he himself stepped in to save them with his strong arm, and his justice sustained him. He put on the righteousness as his body armor and placed the helmet of salvation on his head. He clothed himself with a robe of vengeance and wrapped himself in a cloak of divine passion. When I read these scriptures, I read them over and over, and I said, wow, this is our God that we serve. He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about the salvation that he's going to bring for us. He's talking about how he will help us to walk an upright life, to have life in him. He himself decided to come and save us. He placed on him what was necessary to come and bring the word, so that the word can become life, so that the word can be instructional, so that the word can help us to get to the level at the place that he needs us to be, so that we can come back to him as his children, so that we can come back into his body, one body, and he is the head, so that we can all come back into him, into the places that we belong. It says here, he will repay his enemies for their evil deeds. His fury will fall on his foes. He will pay them back even to the end of the earth. It doesn't matter how far we got. Jesus is willing to go there to get us. He's willing to go there and fight whatever enemy, whatever is attacking us, whatever is there, he is willing to go there and bring us back. In the West, people will respect the name of the Lord. In the East, they will glorify him, for he will come like a roaring flood tide, driven by the breath of the Lord. Driven by the breath of the Lord, the breath of life. Verse 20 says, the Redeemer will come to Jerusalem, fight back those in Israel who have turned from their sins, says the Lord. Again, when we read Ezekiel chapter 16, God talks about Jerusalem. He talks about how he glorify and decorate and adorn Jerusalem, how they backslid and rebelled and went against him. But his word says the Redeemer will come to Jerusalem. He will come to his people, buy them back who have turned from their sin. Verse 21 says, and this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit will not leave them, and there, and neither will these words I have given you. The Lord says he will never forsake us, and he will never leave us. My spirit, again, will not leave them, and neither will these words I have given you. They will be on your lips and on the lips of your children and your children's children forever. I, the Lord, have spoken. His words will be in us. His words will be around us. His word will never leave us. God will never leave us. He will constantly keep coming at us. He will constantly keep speaking to us, not just us, but our children and our children's children and those our generations to come. His word that is here. How many years has the Bible been written, but yet we can see the power of God from Old Testament to New Testament. The same testing, some of them, but the same victory, the same God, the same power, the same strength, the same healer, the same deliverer. He has been that force for us from then to now. His word. When we study the Word of God, when we read the Bible, when we get into it, we see ourselves. We see problems that we have faced, and we see the solution. We see how God strengthens. We see how God delivers. We see how God interjects in our lives to bring us out from where we were. God always interjects in our situation on our behalf. Every plan, every situation that we face it with God to give him glory. Because there is always someone seeing us, seeing the struggle. There's always someone looking to see how we, to the end, as women of men of God, the struggle that was there. And what they should be seeing is us handling it with God. What they need to see is us praying to God and giving our problems, giving our pain, giving our situation to God at all times. Our life is to God's glory. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. I believe I came out of the NLT on this one. It says, "For the word of God is alive." Amen? The word is our Father's spoken word. It's his. The word is Jesus Christ. He lived it. He came personally to show us how to live, how to carry forth, how to be strong, how to be dependable, how to pray. He taught us many things. It was captured and written in the Bible. The words are alive. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joints and marrow. When I thought of that, and I was like, God, yes, your word cuts. It cuts those who are speaking it, and it cuts those who are hearing it. It's double-edged. It's supposed to do that. It's supposed to help us as we're releasing the word, as we're speaking about the word of God, as we're to live upright, to see where we are imperfect. And it's also for those who are listening to see where they're imperfect and where we need God to be that center. When the word said to separate soul and spirit, I was like, wow, God, when we are separated, soul and spirit, we're at our core. We are at our heart of who we are. God's word will let us see where we are and let us understand that's why we need him. He can bring us back together so that he can keep us whole, so that he can deliver some of the things that we're calling to God and we're asking God for. He can bring it forth to manifestation. Bone, joints, and marrow, it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. The word of God convicts. When it cuts us, it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. That's when he separates what we believe is real to what we are actually thinking. It allows it to go down to the core of our hearts so we can see if we're doing certain things. If we're speaking, if we're acting a certain way, is it just for our kudos and our glory, or are we doing it for selfish gain, or are we doing it to give God glory? Are we helping someone genuinely from the pureness of our heart because we want them to understand who God is and we want them to be better, or are we helping someone because we want other people to see us and give us glory? Girl, I can't believe you helped them. Girl, I can't believe you could pray like that. Look at all the eloquent words you're saying. But our lifestyle doesn't equate. Our heart posture is wrong. God will call us. Come back to me so I can show you. Come back to me so I can teach you. Come back so I can heal you. Come back so that I can make you whole to live. We are not alive and living if we're not in God. If we're not living in God and living for God, then we're living for this world. And this world is filled with sin. This is the harbor of sin. Everything has been corrupted in this world. People corrupted. And their behaviors and the things that they do corrupt the world that we live in. Corruption is everywhere. It's on the highest of the highest level. Politics corrupt to the lowest of the lowest level, right down to your children. It says nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. And he is the one to whom we are accountable. Sees it all. We can't hide from God. We can't go in the closet and hide from God. We can't go and turn off the lights and feel like God is not seeing us. He sees us. He hears us. He is within us. He knows everywhere we go. He knows every thought. He knows our thoughts before we can even formulate it into words to bring it out. God knows. When I received this topic, I didn't know how God was going to lead me to release it. But I prayed, and I asked him to help. And he started helping me, and I'm like, okay, God, I thank you. God knows and sees everything. He created every single thing in this world, in this universe. He created everything from the north to south to east to west. He created everything right down to the core. That's why his word is able to separate, to sever, so we can see our innermost thoughts, so that we can hear ourselves, so that we cannot hide what we're thinking from ourselves. He makes it seen to us. He exposes it so that we can change, so that we can remember that our changing and our answering of God and coming into him is not an outward change, it's an inward change. We have to change from the heart. We have to change from the of who we are. And that change can only come when we depend on the word of God. When we trust in God and have faith, his word will always help us. His word will always teach us and keep us to walk upright, to walk in line with his ways. Amen? And my last scripture for today comes from 2 Timothy 3, verses 15 to 17. You have been taught the holy scriptures from childhood. We have been taught of God. That's why I always say, you know, I chuckle every time someone says, oh, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. Nope. I just believe in the Big Bang. I just believe in evolution. You know, I just believe in those stuff. I don't believe in what God believes in, you know? And I laugh because I'm like, for you to not believe in God, you have to know who he is. We were all taught of God. You have been taught the holy scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. The word of God leads us as children to know right and wrong, and it leads us to Jesus Christ, because we know we have to give our life to Christ. We have to know, we know to confess our sins. We know we have to believe. We know we have to accept him as our Lord and Savior. And we know that God, Jesus Christ, the word says that he already came and he put on his salvation himself. He went forth for us himself so that we don't have to go through all that work. All we have to do is believe. All we have to do is trust. All we have to do is accept Jesus Christ. All scriptures is inspired by God and is useful to teach us. All scripture words, everything that the men and women of God has placed in the Bible, when we are keeping it pure, it is the word of God. Not when we're altering it to suffice for ourselves, not when we're altering it so we can get our congregation to pay, so we can get our congregation to do stuff, not when we're altering it so we can tell people, if you don't give this, you're not going to be blessed, not when we use it for our selfish gain. when we use it so that others can know they need to come to God, that everything that they need is in God, that as long as we trust in Jesus Christ, as long as we trust in the Lord, all our needs will be given. He will supply our needs. He will carry us. Give our problems, give our burdens to God. Pick up his yoke. Become more in tune to the Lord. Hold on to his word. Hold on to him. He's the word and he's alive. All scriptures is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our life. A youth, a baby, my goddaughter, she doesn't know right from wrong unless her parents teach her right from wrong. As a child, doesn't know how to cuss and swear and yo this and yo that unless they're being taught. But still, God gives us an option. See, when you become older, now you don't really depend on your mother and father. Now you make choices and decisions for yourself. That's why we have disagreements with our teenager, because they want to do what they want to do. They're learning and they're deciphering for themselves now. So God is calling. God is speaking to them. God is teaching them. He's using life. He's using parents. He's using circumstances to teach them, but at the same time, draw them to him. God, it is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our life. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. I forgot who I was speaking to. My in-law this week. And I said, you know what? I look for God's correction. I have not arrived. I don't know it all. But I look for God's correction. Because the word of God says he corrects those that he loves. I am his child, so he loves me. So if I am doing something wrong or I'm not 100% certain, I go to God. I ask for his ways and his instructions. I ask for him to give me guidance. But when I am wrong and the Holy Spirit convicts me, I take it. I cry out to God. I apologize and say I'm sorry. You know, whatever it is, because he's my father. He's thing he does. He does out of love because he loves us, because he wants us to be with him eternally. He wants us to be able, after we leave this life, this earthly life, that we have life eternal with him. We have life and joy and peace and all that he has. All that he has given is ours. 17 says, God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. God uses the word to prepare us, to equip us, his people, his children, to do every good work, not just to do good work sometimes, to do good work all the time, every good work. God doesn't use the word of God. The Bible is not there for us to go and start speaking voodoo or start cursing people or start condemning people. It's there to uplift. God is the one that avenges us. God is the one that fights for us. The word is there to equip us to do every good work. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you today for this word. I thank you, Father God, for your love. I thank you for the word that you have given me. I thank you, Father God, because your word pierced us where we need to be pierced. Your word helped to separate us from this world, Father God, and your will. Father God, we are thanking you because your word brings revelation, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I am thanking you, Father God, for your calling. I'm thanking you, Father God, for your unconditional love, dear Lord. I am thanking you, Father God, because without you, we wouldn't be where we are today. Father God, I'm thanking you because without you, we wouldn't know what tomorrow holds, dear Lord. We wouldn't be hopeful to know that tomorrow is definitely going to be better than today. Father God, we are thanking you, Father God, because no matter where we are going through, Father God, whatever struggle we are going through, Father God, we know that you are there with us. Father God, we are thanking you, Father God, because we know your word heals. We know you are a mighty God and you are powerful. Father God, we are thanking you because we know you've been calling unto us in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we are asking you in the mighty name of Jesus, the one that is out there today. Father God, as Apostle prayed for Deacon Frazier's family, Father God, we're asking you, dear Lord, to heal. Father God, to allow your word, allow your healing power, your healing hands, Father God, to be on his family, his sister, brother, in law, Father God, every one of them that are going through a problem or a struggle. Father God, we're even asking you to uphold his family members. If they have children, dear Lord, that might be worried and scared, Father God, give them the comfort that they need in this time. Allow them to hear your soothing touch. Allow them to hear your voice. Allow them to feel your love in this time, dear Lord. Speak to them where they are, dear Lord. Speak to the doctors, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, and give them a changing report, dear Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we are also praying for Pastor Washington's daughter, Father God, in Texas, dear Lord. We're praying for Pastor Washington, Apostle Washington, and Bishop Washington, Father God, that you will hold them together. We're praying, Father God, for their family members, because, Father God, we understand when we go through a struggle, it is not just affecting us. It is affecting our family members. It is affecting our loved ones that are near to us, dear Lord. We're asking you for strength for that entire family. Father God, even as Apostle Washington is going there for her child, dear Lord, even if she's praying, dear Lord, as she's battling her own sickness, her own elements, dear Lord, strengthen her body. Give them the strength that they need to withstand, Father God. We trust in you, and we know that your will come forth. We know your plans are greater than what we can even perceive in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we are asking you for Prophetess Misha, dear Lord, as she has went through, dear Lord, that you will continue to heal her, that you will continue to comfort her, that whatever the situation is, dear Lord, that you will allow her to find peace, because only you can bring us out, dear Lord. Only you can carry us forth, dear Lord. Allow our hearts to be still. Allow their hearts to be still. Allow their minds to be still in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we are also praying for Sister Nancy Callender, dear Lord, that for the news, dear Lord, that you have allowed her to find peace. We're asking you for supernatural favor in her life. We're asking you for supernatural favor, Father God, for everyone that is on this line that is struggling in some areas of their life. It might not be COVID, Father God. It might be depression. It might be uncertainty. It might be something, dear Lord. Whatever it is, only you can see. Only you know, Father God. Your word says it, that you see all, everything in creation. You see it, dear Lord. Father God, help us to come and draw back into you so that our life can become more purpose-filled. Father God, that our life can become more solid, dear Lord. That the life in this earth, dear Lord, we know that when we're done with it, dear Lord, that we will have that eternal life with you. Give us, Father God, the comfort. Give us. Father God, as humans, you know sometimes it's hard for us to understand. Father God, make it clear. Bring clarity. Bring understanding to our hearts. Bring it to our hearts, dear Lord, and give us your peace. Father God, we thank you for everyone that will hear this word, and we thank you for everyone that is calling, Father God, out to you, that is answering you, Father God. We ask you, dear Lord, that you continue to pour yourself into us, that we may be saved. Pour yourself and hold on to us, dear Lord, so that we may walk with you, Father, and do your will for your glory. In Jesus' name, I pray, we pray, amen.
Apostle? Father God, we are thanking you, dear Lord. Father God, we are giving you glory, Father God, for your love, your mercy, and your grace in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we know that the victory of life, Father God, belongs to you, dear Lord. Father God, we know that we can trust in you in the mighty name of Jesus. We trust in you, Father God, for things that are unseen, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We hold faith, Father God, and we hold our faith in you, dear Lord, knowing that no matter what we face this day, no matter what we face in the days to come, no matter what is there, dear Lord, that you will be with us. Father God, we're asking you for coverance for every single family, dear Lord. We're asking you for protection, Father God, for everyone on this line, their families, near and far, in the mighty name of Jesus. We're asking you, dear Lord, for healing, Father God, in their bodies. We're asking you, Father God, for protection against the enemy, the works of the enemy. Father God, we're asking you for coverance for our children, Father God, as they prepare themselves to go back to school in September, dear Lord. Some of them in August, some of them already back to school, dear Lord, that you will protect them, Father God, from the COVID. You will protect them from the variants, Father God, but you will protect them from the works of the enemy, dear Lord, that you will allow them to know who you are in the mighty name of Jesus, that they will know how, Father God, to serve you, how to be upright, how to carry themselves, Father God, with love, how to carry themselves with compassion and empathy in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we are asking you, dear Lord, to allow your light to be before them, to shine brightly before them, that they may follow your ways. Father God, we give you the glory, we give you the honor. Father God, we are thanking you, Father God, because without you, our life is without meaning. Father God, we know that without you, this world wouldn't be standing. It is because of you, dear Lord, that we are here. It is because of you, dear Lord, that we have what is called life, dear Lord. It is because of you, because we are alive, because you breathed your life into us, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you. We thank you, Father God. We give you the glory, Father God. We seek your words. We seek your hand. We seek your protection, Father God, over us, over our family and our children. And we thank you, merciful Father, because without you, dear Lord, we're nothing. Father God, we thank you, we love you, and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Apostle?
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Ms. Andrea, for that powerful anointed word. What a word. Word to fill our hearts and minds today, to take us to that place, giving us a greater understanding of what God is requiring from us. Not only requiring us, but that he is letting us know that he is calling us back and drawing us back to him. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for your servant. Thank you for your word. We ask you, O God, now to bless her and replenish all that she has poured out, O God. Strengthen her. Oh God, we ask that you would continue to watch over her, lead her, and guide her into all truth. God, we ask you to protect and perfect that which concerneth her. Father, keep her in perfect peace as her mind is stayed on you. Oh, my Father, my Savior, we thank you for this word. And we ask you to bless all the hearers, those that spend time to listen, and those that would hear it at some other time, some place. Let this word not fall to the ground, but let them take this word, O God, as a mantle to go forth with and live a life that will glorify your name. Yes. And we will give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' holy name. I thank you so much, Minister Andrea. It was just the right now word, especially when you start to elaborate on how God wants to use us and how he is determined to protect us and shield us from everything, and that everything that we have come from him. And that's most important, to know that the stuff we have and even the things that we are going after is not ours. They belong to him. But sometimes we let all the things of the world take our focus and take our greatest concerns, you know, then focusing after the Lord. I was truly blessed with the word. Remember to lift up Deacon Fraser's sister and his brother-in-law. As I said earlier, I pray for them, but keep them in prayer. Okay. They had come down with being infected with the COVID-19. They're young people, but you know, this germ that's in the atmosphere, it doesn't pick our truths. It doesn't pick or choose. If you're out there and you're messing around and you're not protecting yourself, you stand a good chance. Yes, I know people say, well, yes, the Lord going to protect you. But the Lord also said that we got to use wisdom. We got to use wisdom. When I hear God was fussing at everybody, he said, well, he's not going to do this, he's not going to do that. Well, this thing is out there in the atmosphere. Them people are spraying that stuff in the atmosphere, you know.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, people are going to come down. You're going to come down with it, and people are dying. Now they say there's another virus coming. You got the variant, but now they say there's another virus coming that's worse than the variant. So we have to pay attention to what's going on. You know, this is a spiritual war that is going on against good against evil, evil against good, light against darkness, and darkness against the light. This is what's going on now. People have to pay attention. Stay close to God. Study the word of God and follow God's command. You talked about people saying that they're with God, but they're fornicating, committing adultery, and lying and stealing stuff. You know, this not the people here on Blog Talk really, but there's a lot of people that live that kind of lifestyle. You know, they say, well, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, but they steal. They cuss, and they want to fight, they want to gamble, they want to do all that stuff. You can't do that. You can't serve two masters. Either you're serving Jesus or you're serving the devil. You got to make up in your mind. Either you're living for God or you're living for the devil. We got to make up in our mind, you know. Because this is serious time. But either way, I'm going to open the line. Thank you again, Minister On There. And I thank God for you and for your daughter. I pray that your mother's doing well. Pray that she's overcoming everything that's trying to attack her. Because, you know, every time you try to put one foot forward, the enemy going to try to put one foot back. We got to keep our feet completely focused. Our face got to be focused and our feet got to be planted in Christ Jesus. Every step we make, because the enemy is not playing. He's not playing. This stuff is serious stuff that's going on. I said, you know, that I'm closer to my end than when I first began. And all I want, I pray that God will help you to do much more good for mankind, not just the people that say they love me or love or we love, but for mankind. Ask God to allow me because, you know, I'm closer. I'm closer to him than when I first began. And all I want to do is do as much good as I can. And you also talked about works. It's not works. It works is not going to get us here. You talked about that. Works is not going to get us. We are not saved because of any works. We are saved because he loves us, because of the grace that he bestowed upon us. Mm-hmm. And the faith we put in and loving him. He saved us. Not even because we love him. He saved us because he loved us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the line is open. Line is open. Anyone that want to encourage this woman of God and the people of God, line open.
Amen. And I just want to say and add to what you said earlier, Apostle, you know, with this variant and this COVID that is here and the many different things that are coming, you know, God gives us the solution. You know, whether people choose to take the vaccine or they choose not to take the vaccine, he also gives us a solution to wear your mask. So for, you know, my job is planning on trying to have us go back into the office, you know, and they had said, you know, if you're vaccinated, you don't need to wear your mask. But I would highly encourage everyone, whether you have the vaccine, I've taken it. I still wear my mask when I'm outside. I wear my mask when I'm walking, you know, amongst crowd or I go into a store. But, you know, if I'm outside and, you know, I pray about it, and if God says, you know, I feel in my spirit it's okay to pull my mask on and there's no one around me, just to get a breath of fresh air in, do it. But don't, you know, I walk in the grocery store now and I see people walking around like nonchalant with no mask, with no nothing. And I'm like, you know, there's many people who have not taken the vaccine that still is there. And we don't know how this thing is shifting. But the same way the variants keep coming, stuff keep coming, it brought me back to, you know, excuse me, Moses with, you know, Pharaoh and all the different plagues that hit. We just have to be aware that situation has a way of turning around.
So right now, we have all these different things that are coming. Let's prepare and guard ourselves up and follow the instruction. Pray about it and know that it's God. Don't just say, oh, I'm a Christian, God is going to protect me, but we don't do anything. We don't protect ourselves. We God give us the ability to also protect, to do what is necessary. So we just have to follow and be obedient. If they say wear your mask, wear your mask, whether you have the vaccine or not. That's all I wanted to add, Apostle.
Being thank you so much. That's mm-hmm. true. The line is open.
Mm-hmm. I went ahead and I prayed earlier for Deacon Frazier and his family, Apostle Washington and Prophet Misha and Sister Nancy Calendar. So if anybody else is on the line, amen. If anybody else is on the line and want to add or want to pray or want to sing, whatever it is that God is placing on your heart, please do it at this time. If not, it is okay as well. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen, Brother Deacon.
Amen. 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 Pray the Lord. Pray the Lord. Pray the Lord. You are apostle. Pray the Lord. Brought on the call. We thank God for you, woman of God. We thank God for what has been said on today. And it's a blessing to be here today. And we thank God for what he will do. And this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad it is. And I'm truly thank God. I'm thankful for everything. I'm thanking God for that. And it was one of the things I heard you say during the message about, said a few things about fornication and the adultery and going around cussing is not of God. We doing one thing, we say one thing, then we doing another thing. They really not of God. But we know a lot of things. We going around starting fight. We gambling. We're going around doing something that really is really not of God. And that's why he'll chastise us. But when we know that's really not of God, when we have that fornication around that out there sin and doing things really not of God.
Sure.
And those are that was one of the things that I heard said through the message. That's why a lot of time we find ourselves not doing things that really not of God. And that's why a lot of time he'll test chastise us. But what we doing wrong. But as I was sick, I was just listening. I listened to everything that has been said. So I thank God for the word that has been said. I thank God how God really used him, and like God using us. We is his servant. Yes, we is his servant. And like today, and like when we all come on this call, we come and minister the word of God. Cause yes, even that sometimes, even though when you ask to go do what the word of God, you being obedient. Doing the word of God, but you know what? Some of us, when we ask to do something, we are like we don't want to do it. We some of that's a lot of time. That's a lot of That's a lot of excuses. But you know, a lot of times God don't make excuses. But we as people, we got to do what the Lord calls us to do. And one thing I like, that's one thing about it. You didn't say you got to go do something. We got to go to church, go to worship. But look, you was obedient to the word of God. And it's one thing about it. If someone, if you like, when he had me go do something, had me go, when I bring a message, then I'd be ready to be prepared. We got to be ready to be prepared. Bring the word of God. Regardless, we got to be ready to bring the word of God. And that's what we have to do is be obedient to do the word of God. So I say to you, woman of God, I keep on, let God continue to use you, let God speak through you, cover you. Regardless who don't want to hear it, you got to preach your name to have preach it and let God continue to use you because you will get your blessing. Your blessing is coming. It is coming. So I say I thank God. Thank God for what He's doing. Even though I know that sometimes I don't be able to say anything, to say nothing when I've been ever since I've been, because most time I be working all the time. But now I'm at home. I'm off today. I be able to come and make comment today, and I really thank God I had the chance to come and make a comment today, and to encourage. My friend in Christ, God, that's what we need to encourage. Those don't want to encourage someone. Well, I'm glad I had privilege to encourage on the word of God. I thank God for what He's doing in your life. I thank you on the word and what He. I thank God how He spoke through you and how He speak through you. And I really truly enjoy it on the word of God. So I say to you, woman, God, keep on doing what you're doing, and you will get your reward someday, and you will be blessed in the name of Jesus. You won't do a loss of. A lot of words in the kingdom. I thank God for you. And yes, also, always continue to keep family in prayer, because we all need prayer, because we all need prayer. We all need prayer all over the world. Everything that was going on all over the United States, all over the world, all over the nation. We had to pray for everyone, not only yourself, you got to pray for everybody. So I thank you, woman of God. Let God continue to use you. Let God continue to speak through you. How He continue to cover you and your family and everything that's in your life. So bless God on the word. May God continue to bless on the word. May He keep you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. God bless you, woman of God. And I thank you on the word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Deacon Frazier, for your word of encouragement. You know, I'm grateful to God. And, you know, you said we're getting, you know, one day we will get a reward. And, you know, from my process, my thought process, you know, I'm reaping my reward. Every day we are alive. Yeah. Every day we're able to love. We are reaping our reward. We already have it. We're working towards, you know, the end process of having that eternal life to God. But every morning we wake up, we ought to give God glory because we have received a blessing. We have received life. You know, whether today is a great day, a fabulous day, or today is just a low day or whatever the case may be, I still give God glory in that day.
Yeah.
You know, and we just have to remain encouraged in the word. And you said, we have to be prepared. You know, when it comes to the word of God.
That's right.
And whenever I release the word of God, and I know you know this, you know, I remain open
I keep myself open to God. As I minister his word, I always let God know it's not what I want to say, it's what you want to say, it's how you want to use me. So I freely let myself go to him so he can use me. But not just in that moment of using, so that he could constantly keep pouring into me, that I could learn from every word. I could learn from the scriptures. I could learn from you guys, everyone on this line that makes a comment. It's something that you said that brings me closer and brings me more aware of the things that God is doing. So I just give God the glory for your life. I will continue to pray for you and your family, your brother and your sister, and everyone, so that you guys can stand through this difficult time, and just that God will give them a favorable report and they will come out stronger than when they went in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Deacon Frazier. I love you.
Amen. Love you too, amen.
The line is open again. If anyone else wants to add to the word of God, if you want to share something, share a testimony, whatever it is that God has placed in your heart, you can do it at this time.
Good morning. Praise the Lord.
Good morning, Evangelist. I haven't
Good
heard
morning.
Your voice for
Praise
a while.
Good morning, Apostle Calendar. Good morning. Praise the Lord.
Good morning.
Morning, Minister Honduras. You sound like you were sleeping, Apostle, a little bit, huh? Just resting?
No, I'm not sleeping. I'm just resting, relaxing.
Amen.
You know, it's hot over here, hot over there where you are, too. But, you know, this heat takes a toll on me. I was in the attic a couple of days. It was 125 degrees in the attic, you know, trying to make some funds to help the people in India and Africa. But, you know, I had to take it off today. So, well, I ain't going in that attic again today. You know, so I'll go over there tomorrow. But it's not going to be that hot tomorrow. But that heat takes a toll on your body.
Yeah, it does.
You know, it takes a toll on you. But I'm refreshing myself, re-energizing with the word of God today, as always. Yeah, go ahead.
Was the temperature over 100 degrees over there on your way?
Well, we had a couple of days straight that was, it was 90 some degrees, but it sat like 105.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, it was very, very hot. I'm telling you, it was no joke about it. I saw a lady was happy laughing. She got these little skimpy shorts on, and she got this pleather seats, you know, look like leather seats. And she goes to get in the car, and the whole back of her leg got scorched. So, yeah, she was all fussy. She goes back in the house and get a sheet and spread the sheet over the seat, make like a seat cover so she could drive. You know, it's hot today. You got pleather or leather. Man, you better make sure that you let the car run for a little bit. Like mine, I got leather seats, and I turn it on from in the house before I go out. And the air conditioner comes on, you know, and it cools the seats off. But I'm not going to go up there and get in that car, sit up a day when the outside is 100, it's 99 degrees or 98 degrees. Then that car is going to be 100 and something degrees. And you know, people don't use common sense.
Apostle,
but the lane is open.
Thank you for your prayers. Minister, I'll get with you in 1 second. Thank you for your prayers. I do want to give you a praise report that Evangelist Curtis at first said she's not going to be able to pray the way normally she prays, but she ended up praying yesterday and she got stronger and stronger in prayer.
Amen, amen, amen. She's a warrior.
The second time because of COVID to prayer again. Yep. So
she's a warrior, so she's going to make it. She'll make it.
Thank you for your prayers. I'm sure hearing
you all are welcome.
Made a big difference. Cause you're
yeah, just keep a prophetess Misha in prayer and Bishop and Pastor got a daughter in Texas that has the same cancerous disease as Misha. Now, Misha, they say to give her 7 months to live, but that's only what the doctors are saying. That's not what God say, because you know doctors don't say they go with we call the saints, but we go with what the Father says. You know, you know the saints gonna look at this and say, well, they can see that the size of the monthly plan, it looks like your immune system is not operating the way it's supposed to be. But what did God say? You know, what did God say? I mean, if you are a believer, you might get some bad reports, but and the reports just tell you that you got to be like the woman with the issue of blood. You got to go down on your all fours. You got to crawl to him and touch him. Touch the hem of his garment. Don't mind what people are saying. Because a lot of people, and I was telling people yesterday, so you know what happened with a lot of people, they know the Bible, but they don't work the Bible. Or they know the Bible. Or they can tell you a scripture quick. But when it comes to something wrong with them, they don't work the Bible. You got to work the Bible. The Bible will work if you work it. You got to work it. You got to believe it when you're working it. You know, I'm picking tomatoes. I'm picking. I got kale. I got cabbage. I got lettuce. I got ginger. I got onions. All this stuff is growing. When I plant this stuff early this year, the people saying, "But how you know it's gonna grow?" And then my wife or sister would say, "Well, how you know it's gonna grow? I used to plant when I was back in the country. I was back home, and we had all kinds of stuff growing. So when now we got tomatoes and all this stuff is growing, we're plucking stuff and giving away stuff. So why? Because when I plant this stuff, I believe that God will bring it up and God will give me a harvest. I believe that.
Amen.
You know. So now I'm mixing my stuff in my blender. I'm making green smoothies, you know what I'm saying? I'm so excited. And I know that ain't nobody spraying no pesticide on that stuff. All that stuff is pure. It's organic. It's got no pesticides on it. Because I'm growing it myself.
That's right.
And I believe that it will come out. Because I got these big tomatoes are so good. Oh, my Lord, it's so sweet. I said, these tomatoes are good. And I water, because you got to believe. You got to believe. The doctor said something. He said, well, okay, I hear what you say. I hear you say I got a heart problem. Well, okay, doctor. And I said, well, when I step over there, I said, Lord, you know what's going on. You know before the doctor even gave me the report. But I know you are my Jehovah Rapha. You're the God that healeth me. Lord, and I'm just putting this heart problem on you, this liver problem, this kidney problem, this brain problem, this colon, this prostate, whatever's going on, I'm putting it in your hand because I know only one can heal is you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, I'm depending on you. I don't have no other help. I have no other help but you, Lord. You are my refuge and my strength, Lord God. You are my hiding place. You are my strong tower, Lord. And you begin to talk to him. And you believe it. You believe in what you say. You're not just saying it because you can say it because you know the scriptures. You got to activate faith, too. But the woman of God said this morning, not by works, lest anyone should both. It's the gift of God. See, God give you a gift, and now you let God say, look, I'm calling on you because I want this gift to be activated. I want to activate this gift, and I want you to honor this gift you give me. And guess what God's going to do? He's going to give you more time. What happened with Hezekiah? When he went to the man of God, and the man of God prayed for him, talked to God. And guess what happened? He put his face to the wall. And God said, look, I'm gonna turn back the time. God set back the time. He's the only one who can turn time backwards. Nobody can turn back time but God. Give the man of God 15 more years. 15 more years. This guy was sick, dying. He was supposed to die. But that's what man would say. You got tumors in your brain. You got tumors on your lungs. Your kidney is falling apart. A brother called me last week. A deacon called me last week. He said he went to the doctor. And the doctor told him that kidneys was failing. He's a young man. 44, 46, somewhere around there. And I be talking on the phone. I said, let me pray for you. I said, look, Dick, when you go back next time, they're going to give a different report. When he called me yesterday, we talked for a long time. He said, Pastor, I went back to the doctor, and the doctor told me that my kidney just turned around.
Amen.
He said, everything turned
Amen.
Around. I said, you've got to believe what God say. Not what man say, what God say. Man is just staying in agreement with you, but God's was making the final report, and now he was happy because he was getting all depressed. Some of the man all depressed. That's just what man is saying. You got to get the report of God. He said, who report will you believe? You got to believe the report of the Lord. What the report of the Lord said, it said that you will feel, you're healed, you're free, you got the victory. That's what the report of the Lord said. You feel, you're free, you're healed, you got the victory. That's the report of the Lord. I had a talk with Misha day before yesterday. She called me again yesterday, and she said, Apostle, I'm still here. I said, well, that's all you need to give God glory. As long as you're still
Amen.
Here, you give him praise. You don't go in a closet and shut the door and lay down to die. No, while you got life, you praise him. You praise him because you still got hope. He can send that medicine from the throne room anytime he want to. Anytime he want to, you're alive. Even if you die, he can call you up that tomb. God. Because he is God all by himself. He's the one that gives life to any dead situation. Anyway, the line is coming. Come on in, Evangelist Sheila. The line is open. I just got excited about that. And Apostle, her daughter got the same thing as Keisha, Amisha. Tumors on the brain, tumors on the cat, lungs, all this stuff, crazy stuff going on. But you got to praise God. Praise all.
You know, when you were speaking, the first thing, what came to me is Hezekiah. For some reason, I didn't think it was in the book of Isaiah. I thought it was somewhere else. I looked in Kings.
Two places in the books. I think it's in Kings or in Kings and also in Isaiah.
Okay.
It's two places in the Bible. It's two places. That story with Hezekiah is two places.
Yeah, I was surprised. I said, well, did Isaiah live at the same time? Because it says I don't want to talk too much. I would like, can I have permission to pray about this?
Prayer. If the Lord leads you to prayer.
Okay. I got my hands on Hezekiah. Give me a moment. I'm looking for, go back. Father, no, let me just get this, because this came to me as you were speaking about Hezekiah. I had it. Hezekiah. H-E-Z. Okay. 2 Kings 18. Okay. 2020. Okay. Oh, it goes way all the way to... Okay. Wait a minute. Lord, we come to you. Let me just settle. I got to get the scripture first. 2 Kings 20. It tells all the things he did, but then it gets into... I'm trying to figure out the part where he, not figure out, find the part where he gets sick and goes to God. Okay. This is something else. Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, first of all, we are thankful for this hour. We thank you for the man of God who stands before you, and he's stubborn, and he's a strong man, and he is going to do what you say, and he stands in the place of holiness and righteousness for your name's sake, O God, because you called him from his mother's womb, O God. You knew what he should be. And he has been called with the power and anointing to speak those things that be not as though they were. We thank you that he is a man of God, that he loves you with his whole heart, and that he puts you before everything else. Father, we touch and agree with him and his ministry. And Father, we pray for the hard things. We pray for the hard things. We pray for the things that no matter how much scripture you read, or how much scripture you know, or how many songs you sing, Lord, there's times in our lives that only the peace that surpasses all understanding is the only thing that can comfort us to know that you're with us, God, because there's fear within and fear without. And so, Lord, we have a measure of faith, faith that you give us. It's a gift, God. So, Father, we pray for this situation right now that seems impossible. When they said to Karen, who had liver disease, that she would be gone in 6 weeks, and she lived a year and a half. Father, we thank you. If you could do it for Karen, you could do it for her. But one of the things I remember is the Hammonds. Reverend Hammond, Dr. Gloria and Dr. Ray and Gloria Hammond, they're the type of leaders that walk with you through life and to your graveside. So, Father, we thank you because sometimes you need help. A lot of times you need to know that somebody's there, because when you're not alone and you go through the shadow of death, it says, David said he should fear no evil because you are with him, that the rod and the staff comfort him. Sometimes we need someone to hold our hand, to speak to us and to pray for us and stand with us in the gap. Thank you, Father, that Nisha had the strength to call and say, I'm still here. But, Lord, we look at Hezekiah's life, and he turned his face to you. And he asked for more time, and you answered him. Thank you for the woman of God that told me before my job was over that you healed her from fourth stage cancer. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you put Prophetess Nisha and Apostle and Bishop Washington's daughter time in your hands. And that you do with time the way you want to do it, that you may be glorified. As when Lazarus died, and Martha, if you were here, he would not have died. And Jesus said, this was done for the glory of God. Here we read, we want to read the word to you, Lord, that you already know. In those days, Hezekiah became mortally ill, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. I want to pause here. Father, at least he got a warning. At least he was told. Even though he could have been taken by surprise, you cared for him enough to send a messenger to him, a man of God. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, remember how now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. I want to pause. Father, in the name of Jesus, we stand in the gap asking you, O God, for a family gathering and friends gathering, that this life is only for a moment. It's like grass, King Solomon says. We are here like vapors, and then we go away. But Father, we pray that this life that they're living at this moment counts. That these will be, even though their body could be racked with pain, they may be receiving morphine. But God, we ask this life that they're living right now count like never before. That they pass the words and the baton before they leave here. That they get to spend time with family and friends. That they can eat together. Even if they have to mesh the food up in the finest, finest liquid just to survive. That they may know that they are loved and that they matter on the earth. Lord, when you're on the earth, you want your life to count. You want to believe that what you have a purpose. You want to believe that you've touched somebody's life. So, Father, I'm asking you to let them touch somebody's life, one for another. That this is going to be the most precious time that they spend with family and friends. That they are not alone in this hour. And it came about before Isaiah. Hold on. And it came about before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court. Lord, we're coming into your court with thanksgiving. We're entering into your courts with praise. And we are thanking you for just another day that we cannot take for granted. Many people have died in car accidents, stab wounds. There was an 87-year-old woman that was found stabbed yesterday. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus for life. Father, an abundant life, even for those who we're praying for in this hour. You told Isaiah, return and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer, and I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you.
Amen.
On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord. And I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Then Isaiah said, take a cake of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil. And he recovered. Isaiah 38:1. In those days Hezekiah became mortally ill. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee how I have walked before thee in truth and with a whole heart and have done what is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Luke 10. And Luke 10. Now after this, the Lord appointed 20 others and sent them two and two ahead of him to every city. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the anointing on Apostle Linda. Thank you for the anointing on Bishop Washington, Father. They have an anointing to lay hands on the sick that they shall recover, God. We pray in the name of Jesus for the laying on of hands. Father, I don't know if Apostle wants to travel. I don't know what you want to do, but I pray in the name of Jesus for the laying on of hands. Father, you said that you send us two by two. And he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lamb in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. And whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest upon them. But if not, it will return to them. And stay in that house, eating and drinking what they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house. And whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat what is set before you and heal those in it who are sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, even the dust of your city, which clings to your house, we wipe in protest against you. Yet be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus during this pandemic, oh God. It's been hard for people to come together, but it says that we are equipped for the laying on of hands. And because this is their child, oh God, you have given her power from on high. It says, according to your word, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Father, we're asking for more time. We're asking you, oh God, to settle those things. It says that what is on earth shall be in heaven. It says you will bound what is on earth. What is on earth, it is bound in heaven. What is in heaven is bound in earth. So, Father, we ask you to give them wisdom on how to proceed and what you are saying, oh God. Father, we pray that you communicate with them through the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, God, as we stand in agreement. And, Father, we thank you for Apostle because he is equipped through the and mighty through the pulling down of strongholds, because the apostles laid hands on the sick. And when Peter preached, 3,000 souls were saved. So, Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus for miracles, signs, and wonders to follow them, O God, that when they go home to be with you, they have life more abundantly in heaven. But, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name for your time. You make the final decision on how you want it to be. Lord God, as my pastor passed this year, she may have said, I want to go home. Because she said to me in her words, the second to last conversation, we are going home. So, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you are sovereign. We know you're sovereign, and you make the final decisions. But we touch and agree with the prayer of the apostles, Apostle Washington, Bishop Washington, Apostle Calendar, and Prophetess Nishi in terms of their destiny as they go and prepare to be with you. Father, we pray that you heal their body, that you strengthen them, that you encourage them to share these moments as never before with love, and you encourage their hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, we're glad to hear you went to Isaiah. I was going to tell you, it's also in Isaiah chapter 38 and also in Chronicles chapter 30, talking about Hezekiah. So it's three places in the Bible. But we thank God. We thank God for the word of God is read, the word of God is prayed, and the word of God is received, and the word of God is active. Right now, in Jesus' holy name, we just thank God. We thank God for Apostle Stewart, Pastor Joyce Stewart. We thank God for their ministry. We thank God for their sons, their daughters, their grandsons and granddaughters. We just thank God for what he's doing in their ministry. We just ask God continue to heal, deliver, restore all that is infected with COVID right now. For the Lord said that all souls are his, but he said the soul that sitteth shall die. We know that all flesh will die, but the soul that sinneth will die. In talking about spiritual death, we ask God that God will continue to draw us closer to him, that our souls will not die, but our souls will live in eternity with him. We are not perfect, but he's perfecting us. And we just thank God for being the perfecter of that which is not straight, not right. He perfects us. He takes us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we just praise God, and we thank God for your evangelist, Sheila, that you were able to come on here today and take the mantle to pray today. And we praise God for you. And we ask that God would grant you the desire of your heart, that God would continue to protect you as you are over there in California by yourself and all your other siblings and somewhere else. We pray that God would continue to watch over you, keep you safe, secure, and keep you healthy in this time that we are facing. We know that God is doing miracles. He's doing miracles every day. Yes, a lot of people are dying, but a lot of people are living and living to serve God. And some are dying to go to be with God. Hallelujah. And we're just praising God anyway, because the Bible said that in whatever state you are, you got to praise him. You know, we said yesterday on Blog Talk, somebody said that folk women could praise him When all is well, we can praise him when the boss call you and say, "Well, you know, we decide we're gonna move you from the ordinary to the super ordinary." You know, we say, "Well, he moved you from just behind the desk, and now you're in front of the desk. You're the supervisor. You're the boss. You're the manager." You know, we were praising. So, you know, I just got a raise. I got a raise, and I got a better position. But what about If you get demoted, can you still praise God? You know, if you go outside and your tires are flat, can you still praise God? Or you're going to cuss at something, you know? This is where we got to praise God. You know, when the devil thinks he shows up and he's cutting us up, we got to praise God. God, we got to let him know that he's defeated. Mm-hmm. If we start to act foolish, unseemly, the devil say, he tells God, I told you, go. All you had to do is move their heads from around them, and they will cut you. See, that's what he said to God. Just move the head from around Job, he'll cut you to your face. Just, you know, but God, Job never yielded. You know, we got to be praising God in spite of whatever's going on. And that's what we do. You know, if I get a bad report again, I'm still going to praise him. If I don't get no report, I'm still going to praise him, because I know there's already a report that's recorded. There's a report that recorded that I said I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. There's a report. It's recorded in heaven. You know, we sing the song, I'm saved, because the angels of heaven done write my name. Well, that's a report. That's a report. Everything ain't going to go right for me while I'm here in this earth realm, but I know there's something that's already right. God said that I'm his son. I am his son. And I'm living for that. That is what I live for. I mean, I don't have all the stuff that other folk have, but I know one thing for sure, that I have Jesus living on the inside of my heart. I know this. I know this. I need nobody to tell me. Nobody don't have to wave a white flag or pink flag or yellow flag or blue flag or green flag. I knew this. He's in my heart.
Amen.
I knew this, I know this without a shadow of doubt. And I ain't going to let nobody take away from me. Paul said, don't let nobody. John said, don't let no man cause you to lose your crown. Paul said the same thing. Don't let nobody cause you to lose your crown. He's in your heart. Live for him. Live for him. The devil will test each and every one of us. And Minister Ande talked about it in the Word. He would test and try every one of us to see if we're going to give into his foolishness. But that's all the devil got is foolishness. Yes, I say so, devil. All you got is foolishness. And you can't move none of us. So go on somewhere else with your foolishness. Go somewhere else, devil. Say, devil, go on somewhere else. Keep coming around here with that foolishness. Go. Let him go. Ain't mother yesterday. Did you hear Mother Grant said yesterday? He come in her house like a crab, a big old crab. The devil. You can't allow that. You gotta tell that old foolish crab, but leave, go. As you get feared for the devil, he will show up all the time. As you show him some fear, he will show up all the time. You gotta show him the power of God that dwells inside of you. And tell that old broken teeth lion to go. Go. You can't bite no more. You don't even have no teeth. Go somewhere. God gave me that scripture years ago, and I said, bless my life, change my life. If you listen to the scripture, say he's like a roaring lion walking about seeking who he may devour. Who he may. That tells you he can't devour everybody. Man, get the revelation. He can't devour everybody. It's only who allow him to. I tell him, go. Somebody might say you're boastful. You're not boastful. If you think you're boastful, let them know you're not boasting in yourself. You're boasting in the Christ that saved you, the one who died for you. That's why you can talk the way you're talking. When you know that you know, the Bible said they that know their God will do great exploits.
My God.
When you know him, you'll do great, not know of him. When you know him, you'll do great exploits. You'll become more than a conqueror. You're not just going to conquer. You're more than a conqueror. That's what the Bible says. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you see a conqueror somewhere, I'm more than him. If you see a conqueror somewhere, you are more than her. Because the Bible says so. They're just conquerors, but you're more than a conqueror. Lord, why? Because you got Jesus. Because you got Jesus. Hallelujah. If nobody's going to share, I have a comment. One of you guys, just go ahead and pray us out and close the line. We'll talk to you all tomorrow if the Lord say the same.
I did enjoy the word. I don't want to veer off of the fact. It's always good to hear your voice and to hear all of you. When I do come on, I'm being quiet. But thank you for the messages that you send, Apostle Calendar. I love you. I love all of you. And I totally enjoyed the Word of God. Just you teaching and preaching the Word of God, Minister Andura and all of you, it says that when I do get on, we're in the right path. We're on the right team. And it's wonderful to know you all. And to be with you and spend time with you. Amen.
We love you too. Thank God for you coming on today. It's the Lord has us right now. The Lord has us in the vein right now. We are in a vein with him right now that is just phenomenal. I tell you that I was in Slidell, Louisiana. And I tell that I experienced some things while I was there. Didn't spend enough time that I want to and didn't do all that I want to because my wife got sick and I had to come back. But I tell you something, I experienced some dimensions with the Lord while I was there that you had to be with these people that we were with. about seven of us in the hotel, and you would have really experienced. I was something else. Every time that I minister, every time that I minister with the word or prayer, I couldn't stop weeping. Every time. The moment I opened my Bible,
yeah,
I started weeping.
Mm-hmm.
If I was going to sing a worship song, I started weeping. I've never experienced that in my whole life.
Yeah.
I started praying for somebody, weeping. I said, Pastor, I don't understand what's going on. I said, he got me. He had me in a place right now that is different. I've never experienced it. If I didn't matter which book I was reading in the Bible, I would start weeping. I can't stop. I said, wow. Even I talked to my wife on the phone, I said, honey, I'm in a place with the Lord like never before. Like never before.
Mm-hmm.
Like never before. Mm-hmm. So it was a blessed time, but we're going back there pretty shortly. Pretty short. We got some things we're working on, and once things is straightened out, we're gonna go back. We go back there pretty short. We not gonna wait no long time to go back. You know, we're going back there in fellowship. A lot of work to be done. Well, somebody go ahead and pray us out. God bless you all. Thank you all. Somebody pray.
Apostle, I was always trying to get your timing of being in New Orleans because I knew you were to go. How's your wife doing? She okay?
She is, absolutely. Yes, she is
okay.
Good. So a couple more things that they got to do, but she's good. She's good.
Okay.
God has answered okay. Prayer, you know.
Okay.
You know. This is why you're not to be afraid of when you get a report from the enemy. Because that's what I call it. You know, the enemy gives you reports to worry you. You know,
mm-hmm.
to take your focus off of God. You know, if
mm-hmm.
you get a report about your job, you don't want to pray. If you get a report about your husband, about your wife, about your children, you don't want to pray. The devil give you a report to stop you from seeking God and talking to God. Because he know that your victory is in God. It's in Christ Jesus. And Yahweh and Yeshua, he know once you put your focus there, you're going to have victory. So he just said, look, let me just put this thing here. I came back here, and she had a bad report. She had to go to the emergency room and all that stuff. So I said, well, devil, I'm going to show you something. I know I got to leave, but I got to take your house. Because God said, you got to take care of your house first before you can take care of his house. If you can't take care of your house, you can't take care of his house. So I said, well, let me go
mm-hmm.
home and take care of my house. And I came home, and I began to win in war. I said, devil, you're a liar. I begin to do war up here, you know. And I said, devil, you're a liar. Well, when she go for the second appointment, he said, well, all that they were saying that they had to do. He said, well, we don't have to do this. We're gonna go about this a different way, you know, instead of you going through all this stuff that they had planned to do. No, she ain't got to do all this stuff. You came home to do warfare. You're a warrior. You don't just live, throw your hands in the air and say, well, I'm going to just lay down here and die. No, no, no. You go into warfare. That's what a warrior does. A warrior don't lay down and say, here's my bow and arrow. I'm not going to shoot none because everybody got more than me. No, you take up your stuff and begin to go to war. So I'm a warrior. Let me show you my shots. Let me show you the shots that I have. Let me show you what I have. And that woman got a good report, I tell you. I was just praising God and giving God glory. Just giving him glory. Because the Bible said before you ask, he's already answered. You hear me?
Amen.
Before you ask, he's already answered. And that I always say the problem that we have as believers is that we don't ask. We are going to a pity party. Why me? Why this has happened to me? Why me, Lord? If he didn't withhold his son from Calvary, why you think he's going to withhold everything from us? Some things he's going to let us go through. And then we said, we got to praise him while we're going through. Some things he's going to let us go through. That's just how he's going to do it. So go ahead and pray, somebody. Pray us out.
Song
thank God
coming.
For you all today.
A song
go
is
ahead.
Coming to me. And I sing this.
Yes, Evangelist, if you wouldn't mind, after you're done singing the song, do you mind praying us out?
All right, I thought you were going to pray us out. All right. You deserve the glory. You deserve the honor. Oh, we lift our hands in worship. And we bless your holy name. You deserve the glory. You deserve the honor, so we lift our hands in worship, and we bless your holy name, for you're great. You do miracles so great, for there's no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles so great.
Okay.
Oh, there's no one else like you. Hallelujah. For there's no one else like you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for pulling back the curtains and just your glory. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Lord God. Father, please help the prophet. Lord, encourage him, God, because he looked forward to this trip. But you took him to another place that he hasn't understood. Maybe he doesn't understand, but you understand where you're taking him to and why he's weeping. I know what comes to me, but I don't want to be out of order. So, Father, we just praise you because you are God, and beside you, there is no other, because that's what you said. You are so confident that you said, I am that I am. And there is no one besides me. That's what you said. And so, Father, we are your children. We're like a dot on the planet. But through the power of your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, we are called into your family. We are your sons and we are your daughters. So, Father, we pray and thank you and touch and agree with the call on Apostle's life that his wife shall live and not die. We pray that she will be open to receiving the Holy Spirit. As a Jewish woman, O God, we pray that she will learn more and more about Jesus. We ask you, God, to open up her spirit, open up her heart to receive the fact that the Messiah has already come. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will teach her to honor her husband more than ever before, because a lot of women would love to have a man of God, a man of God that lives what he says, a man of God that loves his wife, does not abuse his wife, that does not cheat on his wife, but prays on his wife, who left a trip just to go back to see about her. Let her know, God, how fortunate she is, Father. And we pray, O God, for marriages. We ask you, O God, to bring one and one together to make two. We pray in the name of Jesus for a multitude of counsel. We pray for the man of God who counsels, because in you, O God, is a counselor, mighty God and a prince of peace. Father, we pray for the counsel of wisdom upon him, God. We pray for his relationships. We thank you that he has come together with Apostle Stewart, another man of God. We pray that you open the gates of heaven for him to come into connection with men and women of God that truly love each other and love you. Father, we come against any spirit of backbiting, any spirit of low self-esteem. We ask men to walk in the confidence and the power and the wisdom of God. Father, we pray for the apostolic anointing. We pray, O God, that you, O God, will establish this ministry according to your divine way. And we pray, O God, for Apostle Linda and her husband, for Pastor Millie, Evangelist Campbell, Prophetess Nishi, Minister Andura, and Deacon Taylor, and for all the visitors and listeners on the line. We ask you to bless them, O God. We ask you to help them, to guide them by the skillfulness of your hand, because your word says, I will guide you by the skillfulness of my hand. Psalm says, I will even do it even unto death, because you're beautiful for situation. So, Lord, this is a situation that's been presented, and it says you're beautiful for the situation. Lord, you allow us to go through trials and tribulations because it says, according to your word, that all things work together for good for those who are called unto your purpose. So, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that there's a lot going on in New Orleans. New Orleans has become very, very violent. There's a lot of carjackings. Apostle Washington told me. But it's also the mentality of people, God. Lord, help our mind to get right and to get straight. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you put a hedge of protection around each one who's connected to this ministry to keep them from the spirit of the Antichrist and from the spirit of the enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Father, help us, as Bishop Coleman would say, to be rapture ready, O God. Thank you for the teaching and the preaching of this ministry, God. Let us go in and come out, O God. Thank you for the man of God that prays for us, even when we're disobedient, bad children. As a father, you loved us and you discipline us, God. We pray for this man of God to be encouraged. Lord God, strengthen his stakes and lengthen his cords, O God. We pray in the name of Jesus for the prayer of Jabez when it says, enlarge my territory. Keep me from harm that I may not harm others. Bless me indeed. Father, let him know that he is blessed and highly favored. Even though it may not look like it, it says don't even think about what we see. But with the eyes of faith, looking unto the hills which cometh our help. Father, you even had, when you were dealing with Elijah, and he was dealing with this man, and there was something about warfare. And Elijah asked him, what do you see? He didn't see it the first time. I don't know if he saw it. Was it the second or the third? But then he said he sees men walking like trees. And so, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus for vision. And we pray for insight. And we ask you, O God, to help him to go up into the mountain and be with you, spending time with you, and going forward the way you would have him to go. And bless Minister Andura. Please bless her husband. Please bless her marriage. Help her husband to be a man of God. There is so much ministry over there in Africa. There are so many worshipers over there in Africa worshiping you, O God. But there are those who are in witchcraft. But we pray, O God, that you teach him, protect him from every hex and every person, even within his own family, that would try to hinder his progress, God. We pray for him to have more understanding of the Holy Ghost, as I need, and all of us need more understanding of the Holy Ghost, as this young man has written a book about how to pray in the Holy Spirit. He's written two books on encountering the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that the two shall be made one flesh. And we pray for our Deacon Frazier's family. We thank you for healing his family. We thank you that his mother is in his life and she needs encouragement because she's gone through a challenging couple of years. We pray for his sisters and brothers. And we pray, oh God, that you will continue to strengthen Deacon Frazier's family, that they will be the family that they're called to be. Father, we pray for family, for each one. And then there's Shepherdess Holmes, and there's another woman of God down in, there's two women of God, I can't, Apostle Shay, and there's another one down in Tennessee or somewhere, but I can't think. But Lord, I just pray for them and their families and protection in their ministries and asking you to bless each ministry. Bless their wives, their children, their dogs, their cats, and their birds, and whatever other kind of animals they have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that prayer, Evangelist. Apostle? Apostle Calendar?
Amen, amen. Thank you. Sheila, thank you for that powerful anointed prayer. And praying for everybody like my brother Deacon Durst. We thank God for you. And we pray that God has heard, not pray that he heard, we know that he heard. And the Bible says it very clearly. When we pray, he answers, he hears. So we thank God for him hearing us and honoring the prayer of the righteous. And
Apostle.
So we. Yes, Apostle. I am here. You hear me? You can't hear me?
Yeah, I wanted to tell you something. It just came to me. Before I took a picture of that tree, that's about 4 or 5 blocks away, and the lady next door was talking to me about a job. She's the office manager of the Alzheimer's facility, care facility, and there was a breakout of COVID, and that was a year ago, last year. But anyway, I went to take pictures of her garden because they had pulled the grass out, and I was walking by the day before, and it was, I love what she did with her landscape. And so as I was I went back on my way to go pray, I was taking pictures from the left corner of her house and moving around, and I saw her sitting on the porch. And we started talking, and I noticed she was home. She said, "We have COVID. We had COVID. We have COVID-19. And she was in the tail end of it, and she had, they had their vaccination, so they didn't end up in the hospital. And hers was like a bad, bad cold, and then it hit her chest, and her husband's was a different, it manifested differently. But you know, she was getting fresh air. She's definitely on the healing track. But I wanted to mention that before I got to the tree. The tree is not the answer, but it was just prayers and wishes going of names because Eldon would say, write it down. So that's what happened. But I wanted you to know they are recovering from COVID-19.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much. That's good. That's good work. Good, good. and we praise God and give him glory, it makes everything different. Everything different. So we honor that. Thank you for sharing that. God bless you. God bless everyone. Thank God for all you all that stayed on and heard the praise of the righteous. And the Bible says the praise of the righteous availeth much. So we are excited and we are delighted for what God is doing and what he's going to do, because he began the work. And the Bible says he will complete the work. So we are just willing and ready to go wherever he said go. You know, but as I said before, if my family is sick, it don't matter what's going on, I'm coming home. I'm going to come home. If I'm in Africa, if I'm in India, if I'm in the Caribbean and my family's sick, I'm going to come home. Because God said, you got to take care of your house. You got to take care of your family first. You know, focusing, they want to be, I got to be the preacher, so I'm going to go. God didn't say that. God said, take care of your house first. You know, you want to take care of mine, let's show me that you can take care of mine by taking care of yours. Don't leave your wife home or your husband home and go trying to be with somebody. No, stay home first. Take care of that stuff. And we are just so blessed. I tell you, there's so much I could say, but we are so blessed with what the Lord is doing. He's just answering prayer. He's just answering prayer. And it's not about money or stuff, but it's about God. It's how God is just answering prayer and touching the people of God, that they can see that he is God. Man, I tell you, it's just miraculous. I mean, people that we are praying for and people we intercede for, and then we get testimonies of how God has touched them. And man, it's just amazing. I just said, to God be the glory. Because, you know, when you begin to pray for people and God is moving at your word, which is his word, understand? You may want to push your chest up and say you did this, but don't let the devil do that. Don't let the devil do it, because that's nothing but the devil. You know, when Peter was praying for the man, Peter and John was entering the gate called Beautiful at the hour of prayer, and the man was sitting at the gate begging alms, and Peter said, look upon us. Said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. He said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. But the man couldn't get up, so Peter reached out and took him by the right hand. And the Bible said at that very moment, he started receiving power in his ankle bone and neck bone, and every bone was started getting power. And they begin to charge Peter and John with healing. Well, I don't mean charge to convict them. They begin to say that Peter and John healed the man. Peter said, no, we didn't heal this man. The very Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, it's right there in chapter 4 of Acts. He said that the very Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you, the chief builders, you know, you rejected, that he the chief cornerstone. He the one that this man here stand and hold today. You see, we got to always turn this thing back to Jesus. Don't ever try to receive the glory. If you preach well, if the Holy Spirit preached through you and preached well, say, Lord, I just thank you. I thank you all for you. Lord, allow me to come before you tonight where the Holy Spirit used me tonight. But don't say you did this. Don't ever get that place, because the devil will put you in a place where you will lose your anointing. Right. Don't do that. A lot of people say that I preached well tonight. I did a really good job. You should have been here to hear me preaching. No. You should have been here to experience the move of the Holy Spirit. You should have been here to experience the move of the Holy Spirit. He was in the service. Give him the glory. He is Jesus. He's God. Give him the glory. And that's what we do. He's just so majestic. He's so sovereign. And I just fall deeper and deeper in love with him. The more I spend studying the word of God, the deeper I'm getting in love with him. You hear what I'm saying? The more I become in love with him, So I have to study, keep studying all the time. And he's revealing. I was today, as you was preaching, I was reminiscing of the kingdom of God in my spirit, man. And God was speaking to me about the kingdom and what the kingdom really is. I said, wow, this is powerful. When I begin to release that, folk are going to wonder where I get that revelation from. But God began to reveal it to me in a deeper way today. begin to reveal it to me in a deeper way. You got to spend time with him. If you want more of him, you got to give more of yourself. And giving more of yourself means submitting to God even more if you want more of him. You know, people say, well, if I go to the revival, if I go to the convocation, I'll get more of God. That's good. That's true, too. But you got to spend some quality one-on-one time with God if you want more of him. Quality one-on-one time, not just because I want you to open the door for me to get a job, to get a husband, to get a wife, to get pregnant. No, no, no. I want to know more of you, Lord. I want to have a personal relationship with you. Yes, I know of you, Lord, but now I want to get to a place where I really truly know of you, that I can even feel you breathing on me. I can hear you speaking into my ear gate. That's how you're going to get. And then when you get that kind of hunger and thirst, the Bible says you will be filled. In other words, what the Bible is saying, you're going to begin to get the revelation that you're seeking. You're going to begin to get the understanding that you're seeking when you become that kind of hungry. But I thank God for you all. It was a blessed day, as always. The Holy Spirit showed up and spoke to us today. And, you know, there's nothing you can do about it because he already done it. You all have a blessed evening tonight where the deacon going to be on. Don't forget, everybody on the line knows the prayer line number. Last night I got on the line and I was laying there on the bed and I didn't have a mind to even tackle any word. And as I was scrolling my computer and my Bible's in my computer, I saw what the Lord wanted me to release. And I tell you, not boastful, because if I ever boast, I always boast on God. It was like fire. They can tell you. The Holy Spirit showed up. The Holy Spirit showed up. I mean, it was just like fire. Quick, 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 fast. And give us a quick message about running the race and focusing. Remain in focus while you're in the race. Because it's so easy. It's so easy to be distracted while you're running the race. Somebody hand you a bottle of water. Somebody hand you a bottle of juice. Somebody want to take a picture of you while you're running. So you slow down. You see what I'm saying? I'm using these analogies. You can't slow down. You can't be distracted. You got to stay focused. You got to stay focused. And you got to stay consistent in your run. Hallelujah. Because the more you stay consistent, the more he's going to energize you so you don't tire out and fall out of the race. Stay in the race. And that's what we talked about last night. It was a powerful, powerful, a powerful word that the Lord just dropped in our spirit last night coming out of our 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 27, I think it was. And I tell you, powerful word. God knows what we need. And God knows what the enemy don't want us to have. I want you to know, you talked about, he said, when you bind, whatever is bind on earth will be bind in heaven. Whatever is loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Well, guess what? That God knows what you need, and the enemy knows what he don't want you to have. Very, very simple. Very simple. God knows what we need, and the enemy knows what he don't want us to have. That's why we got to stay focused. Don't be distracted by anything or anyone, and you will get it. God bless you all. I love you. Let you know that God loves you more. Looking forward to seeing you tonight. We'll be fellowship with Brother Deacon tonight. God bless. Bye-bye.
And God bless you. Love you all.
Love you.
Have a great day.